Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Let's start with the first tag of the afternoon. Commercial reasons, your colleagues should be community first. If you have any questions, we are a few people, but please just wait for the mic so everything gets properly recorded. Thank you.
If you have any questions, you can just interrupt me because it's just a few of us. And given that it's just a few of us, I think I may actually even veer way off of my presentation to talking about what you guys are interested in.
So with that, greetings. Are we recording? Yeah. Is there a recording?
Yeah.
And a video?
And video is only the slides.
Okay.
All right. I guess I need to be on program anyways, but we'll just go ahead and veer off the program as necessary. For those of you watching this recording later, we have about five people in the room because everybody else is enjoying lunch or siesta or whatever it is that happens with a nice two-hour lunch break in Spain. So I did see lots of people in the conference outside, and so we're going to have a nice intimate conversation. So this is the most ridiculously commercial talk you're going to hear at an open source conference, and even more ridiculous, it's not very technical at all. So I hope that's okay for you. I mean, if you guys came in from lunch, I'm sure your like brains are like needing to get revved up again. The cool thing is it's about communities, which means we can get really excited. Come up to the front. We have a really small crowd. We're more interactive. We keep everybody awake this time. So how many of you guys would agree with the statement that open source equals free software? You don't agree with this statement. Okay. Why would you not? Somebody tell me why you do not agree with this statement. Okay, but I can probably download it and make it and do it for free without having to call a sales guy, right? Okay, it's true. There are some open source licenses that limit your opportunities and options. I happen to know that Apache license 2.0 is not one of those. So how many would you agree that Apache software equals free software? I still don't have any hands. Is it just too warm in here? Everybody's still asleep? Okay. Well, I'm a marketing guy, first of all. So actually, I care about things like revenue. That's things that affect my bonuses and the like. So how many people here are actually trying to make money off of open source software? Do I see some hands? Okay. And this is really interesting because I gave this talk to my own company first before I came here, and I asked the same question, and everybody raised their hand when I said, do you think open source software equals free software? And they all raised their hands. And this was a room full of people who make their salaries at a company trying to make money off of open source. Please come to the front of the room. Trying to make sure there's no laggards in the back. We have very, come on up. We're all sitting in the front. Yes. The further back you are, the more questions I throw at you. Okay, so yeah, it's interesting to see the dichotomy on there. So maybe you'll agree with me on this statement, though, that it's critical that we need to learn how to combine commercial and community concerns if we want to actually be able to make money off of open source software. by doing this, if our companies learn how to do this, we will be able to become the way we need to do this is we need to become very transparent about how we do our business. And I'll give you some interesting examples from Pivotal's perspective, where we spun a lot of traditionally commercial products into open source. And I know that's kind of backwards for the average big data community these days that starts as a company, and before they even get .1 of their release, they already have something in Apache and they're trying to build their community that way. But I think this is where the commercial versus community concerns became really apparent to me, was taking a platform company's commercial activities and trying to bring them into open source. And then by doing this, we also want to work with our customers as much as possible in the public, and I'll explain in some very good details how we will be doing this. And the benefits of doing this is a lot more information gets shared between the customers and the companies, and our community becomes an actual business asset. It may be not necessarily owned by the company, depending on how your governance is set up, but it becomes it definitely becomes a highly powerful thing. So first of all, we need to actually make sure we have common vocabulary here. What is a community? I pulled this off of a Wikipedia entrance. For me, the key points here is you either have people that have, you could say, living in the same place, but really what we're talking about is, you know, some kind of locality to them. It could be digital in our case. And then you have characteristics in common. They could be same kind of person trying to do same kind of purposes. And then here, I like this one a lot because it is talking about a feeling of fellowship and sharing of common attitudes. And I think that applies to the open source communities that we're building. And this is where a problem I have to really explain to people. I do this a lot from the very beginning of Pivotal and even places like SAP. Some people think the community is how many people are following me on Twitter. And other people, especially in the marketing department, think, oh, how many followers do we have and what's our engagement and follow through because we need to pump up our social media metrics. And that's like completely the wrong approach. And then other people think it's the platform. Like, oh, what's our forums? What's our news groups? What's our, you know, community platform? That's what they think of the community. No, it's like, no, it's the people involved in it. So back to our main question. Why is there a divide between community and commercial, and why is this a problem? So why it's a problem, and why it's a problem for the commercial activities especially, is it's hard to find information about adoption. And a good, vibrant Apache project will have a Powered by page, and you'll have your customers volunteering to put some information about their use case up on that page. You know, that's a great thing to have. Not very many Apache projects have that, and almost no other open source projects have this. Now, hilariously, on the opposite side, if you have maybe a vibrant commercial activity, you're going to have, you know, like in the case of Gemfire, which is the precursor of Apache Geo, there's like 600 people have massive deployments of this thing. No public information. And so we even run into problems where like, oh, can we get a reference for, like, no, it's impossible. No one wants to talk about what they're doing, even though a lot of times they're actually doing the same thing. And they're even the same kind of customer, and you know, they're not in the business of building in-memory data grids, so should they really care what the way the technology was applied? And this is where it comes into the second problem this causes for the customers and the community is usage. How the heck do you use this stuff? You know, there's no, okay, maybe in the case of your guys' ERP system, maybe you guys are fairly close to an end application, but the typical technology in Apache is a thing, a widget, a platform that you have to build on and make more things with. So the how you use it and the ways you use it and the ways you customize it are really important. And actually with ERP too, right? You know, the usage of these things is really important. And the last is expertise. Where do you find people that know how to use this technology? Where do you find the people that can help the customer buy this supported open source product from you? Because it's not like you're going to be sitting in their data center, unless maybe, I don't know, does anyone here work for a system integrator? Should ask that first. Okay, there's no system integrators. There's nobody here who makes money by sitting there grinding away the hours to support an open source project for one customer. Right? What you want to do is drop software off, have them pay you a highly profitable support contract. That would be a preferred business model. Is that a fair, accurate statement for most people here? Well, it sounds good to me, right? In Apache, I think one customer that I think does a really good job is Bloomberg. I mean, really impressed with how they understand the kinds of problems involved in building these technology communities that they take advantage of. So they do things like share their expertise in the communities. They create usage code and applied code and bring it back to the community. They do a really good job of showcasing the experts that work on their stuff. So we need, in the open source community, we need more of our commercial customers to act like Bloomberg. So how should companies, especially software companies, actually participate in a community like this? First, companies need to cater to why other people participate in these communities in the first place. So just some questions. We need to be a little interactive because we're in a nice warm room here right after lunch. So I'm sure everybody's feeling really comfy right now. What are some reasons people join a community? Why do some of you get in and log into an Apache news group?
It's fun.
It's fun. Okay, fun. Fun is important. Okay, what else? Do what? Learn something. Excellent. And why do you want to learn something? It will help you do your job. Okay, any other reasons? Could I shorten that to say that someone pays you to work with the community? Okay. Okay, so you're building code that enhances the technology or something like that. Okay, or the application. Okay, here's some of what I look at it here, and it's actually a lot of things bucketed into some higher ones. First of all, to learn something, and maybe you're trying to do your job better. Maybe you're actually just even trying to get a job, and to encourage this, we want to do things like have easy education, make it easy for people to know how to get help and how to solve problems. Personal satisfaction, fun, right? and some aspects of this, you want to make an impact. You want to actually just try it out. You know, hey, this is a cool sounding thing. Let's see how it works. Related to fun, but you know, a sense of membership. People want to be in a community. They want to be part of like-minded people, and they like, you know, maybe your friend is involved in the community, right? Or several friends. It's a good reason why you may join. Even in Geode, for example, it's been really interesting. That's a long-standing group, been 15 years together. Only the last year and a half did they actually go into open source. Even when a few of them have left and moved on to other things, we still see them in the community. They still come around. Why? Because they like their colleagues that they worked with for so long, and they still like the technology, even if it's not necessarily a day-to-day concern for them in their jobs. Reputation, you know, this is how you might be able to produce your impact. And this is some very small words. Apologize for that. And then last is, you know, maybe it's a way to make money. Maybe you're trying to find clients. Maybe you're trying to find a job. Maybe you're actually trying to hire somebody. So need to hire someone for your team. Go look for contributors in the open source, right? So an important thing is companies need to share their expertise in their communities. And this means sharing not just use cases, not just marketing, glossy marketing things that I would put out saying, oh, Bloomberg uses Geode open source. No, you need like the detail. You need the what was the problem they solved, how they solve it, you know, what were, if not the dollar ROI amounts, at least get them to explain the more technical returns on this stuff. And this is stuff that all the users of these technologies are all desperate to find, and they want to know and understand what might be applied and then how do you get there. This is all really super important information. And another related piece of this is companies need to foster sharing of what I call applied IP. And applied IP is sort of two things. One would be best practices. You know, how should you always deploy in this particular situation? How should you do this topology of a scale-out system, for example? And what is the code you might use to do a simplified deployment? And, you know, this is where you get things like, you know, one of the business models that open source companies that try to do is they try to make it, the code that makes it simple to deploy something or simple to administer it, they keep that in the commercial version, they don't put it into the open source version. And that actually reduces the growth of the community because it's hard for people to get started. So that's, you know, an example of where I think applied IP should actually be more commonly inserted into the community. So how is the work of your colleagues important to building the community? And there's a few ways in here that you might be able to talk to them about. We talk about creating hackable artifacts. So this is where they create and insert something into the community that other people can work on. They can answer questions in the community. They can provide examples of coding styles, IP hygiene, how to communicate with different people in the community. An important thing to understand is, since a lot of people are actually there in the community to learn, they actually want to learn from people, and so they want to interact with the experts that are on your team. So this is why it's important for fellows in your company to do this. Now, a company that I think has done an excellent job of this, providing expertise into their open source communities, is Red Hat. It's probably nobody better at these days in the industry. So, and interestingly enough, actually, does Red Hat has some Apache projects, but not very many, right? So, they've actually done a good job in just even their own single vendor ones. Okay, great. We kind of know why it might be helpful, but I'm a company. I want to make money. Having a close hold on my customers helps me protect my turf and my market share. What do I get from participating in a community such as this? First of all, more adoption. I mean, so you get more potential references. You get more people trying software out. You get more expertise building up on its own that can aid the adoption, both that of the and of the customers. I like this one, free leads. Now you can say that's related to adoption, but you know, I was having a conversation with Jin Mei before everyone else came in here. It's great that a lot of people might pick up Apache Geode and try it out, but you know what? If all they have is one node, I'm not going to make a lot of money off of them. But Apache Geode is a scale-less system. So if they go deploy 50 nodes and then 5 clusters of that around the world, they're probably doing something pretty big, and it probably involves a fair amount of money, and they probably care if it runs into a problem, and there's probably additional features that they want. So they're much more likely to come and charge or be willing to pay a support license for that. So, you know, that's the kind of leads we want to do. And I think one good example that I like is the Spring community. And I apologize, my graph here is a little bit old. I couldn't find anything new. But when Spring put out Spring Boot a number of months ago, I think they were frankly surprised at just what kind of an uptick they were gonna get out of this. And the reason why this spike happened is Spring is a well-established community, I think somewhere around, was it 10 million developers? And so they put out some free, easy to use, easy to download software in front of the community, and boom, it goes viral. You know, not surprising, actually. And why this is good for Pivotal isn't just that we've just blown out everybody else's app server and commoditized it. But in fact, we have kind of a running statement in sales, which is if you can find a customer that has more than 4 different Spring Boot applications, they probably want to buy Cloud Foundry and other things from Pivotal. So that becomes an important indicator of a lead for us. So how do we, from a marketing point of view, how do we measure this kind of capacity or ease of growth? And without getting into too much of the details, I'll kind of give you some high levels ones. Is time to hello world. Time to hello world is basically how long does it take someone who finds out about your technology to actually successfully write a hello world application based on it. This could be a simple tutorial you guys are running. You know, you define what hello world is for your particular technology, but there's a number of steps where they become aware, they start watching, they become enabled either through self or training or what have you. This span and the amount of actions they have to take and the number of people who drop off from the stages are what your community marketers should be measuring. And then you want to measure their a path of a basic user. You can think of this person as a general initiate of your community. But an elite member of your community goes through some additional steps. They eventually become a promoter. And this could be somebody who can now make contributions into your open source projects. This might be someone who might become an advocate in your community, writing blogs, what have you. All of these, you know, these kind of people are the dreams of marketers like me, because I want to find as many of those and make as many of those as I can. So that's another measure we would track. So coming back to trying to bridge commercial to community, what we really need is actually you guys to go back and help train your companies to think this way. Because if you're already here in Apache, you probably already do think this way to some extent. So why it's good for your colleagues to do more in the community is they get things like, I like how Roman called this, one huge ask a friend button. So, you know, you can ask for comments on feature designs. You can actually ask for things like what's important. So Madlib, one of the communities I work with, the our head of product management on the commercial side released a survey into the open source, and he got all kinds of really good feedback back about what kinds of usage are actually happening on the functions, who wants more, that kind of thing. So that's research that's really hard to do on a commercial point of view, but is really easy to do from an open source perspective. And then related to that, lots of free ideas and testing, or free ideas and requirements. You can get free QA testing. You get people might actually be inserting features for you in an open source perspective. Isn't that great? As you find out what people are doing for adoption, you actually find out new ways people are using it. And then this actually is really important, transparency to aid sales. And what I mean by that is if a prospective customer logs in the community and sees that there's 10 huge P1 bugs filed in the JIRAs, they might be like, oh my god, they know how crappy our software is. But in fact, if they look and see 10 P1 bugs and they see they're all solved and they were all solved fast and they all had excellent documentation, they're actually going to feel better about that than they are about, you know, unknown Oracle database version, whatever, that they may or may not see any traffic about. So the community will be self-documenting on its own self, and in fact, they can, even if there's pieces of code they care about, they can actually go in and look at the code and see. I've had customers for Gemfire come into Apache Geo before and rip us on how inefficient our JSON code was, for example. And then, of course, enhancing your community's your colleagues' professional reputation. This helps them become better advocates for the company. Okay, a bit of an eye chart here, but this is actually a recipe for different roles in your company, how they can be what I call community first in what they do. So, just giving some examples here. If you're in R&D, is what you're doing, can that be actually be done in the public, on the public news groups? Is there some reason why it has to be done in private email or on a private JIRA or a private tracker or whatever your collaboration tool is that the general public can't see? And this is another important thing, is there might be a real easy bug. Maybe you found out that in the source code there's a semicolon missing, you know, at the end of the line. You could just fix that in 3 seconds. But maybe it would be better to have somebody who's new in the community learn about that and figure out how to fix it themselves, because now you're getting them down that path of time to first contribution. So that's helping you to create the elite in the community. So documenting these opportunities to help contribute are one of those things that the R&D team can really help get more people to join. Because once people start to understand the code, once they start to understand the structures, once they understand the process of making a contribution and actually see their contribution accepted, they're more likely to do something a little more substantial next time. Apache Way, basically, I don't need to explain that to you guys, but it's important for you guys to continue to remind your colleagues who may or may not care about Apache Way, but they certainly understand that consensus as opposed to even a democratic vote is not the way that we prefer to work on these things. This is actually has been a problem in Pivotal's open source communities. It's getting a lot better, but it was a real challenge for us in the beginning, and that is release. Like, everybody thinks the release has to be high quality and has to be perfect and it has to have all this stuff taken care of before we can let anybody in the public see it, touch it, look at it. I'm sure if, how many of you guys have been through a very first release of an Apache project before? I know Justin has. Justin actually holds the warts for some of our first releases, but it's really hard, and it's not really hard because you have to get the code to compile. It's because you have to get all of this component software that your engineers added before they knew what mattered, and you have to do this massive IP cleansing. It's crazy hard, Geode took a long time to get to doing this, but now that Geode's gone through this, it's actually starting to pick up its release cycles, and I think it's helping us bring new features and get new feedback from the community a lot faster. Another community I work with, Hawk, I went through 4 attempts trying to get through the IP cleanse before they could finally get it done, and they just went, oh, you know, I think we need to work on another feature first before we get to this. No, they should have been doing releases. And now that they've done one release, the next one's going to be a lot easier, and I think we're starting to get them tuned to this area. But if you want to grow a community fast, if you want to bring people in to the community, give them lots of hackable artifacts and give them easy-to-use components. Ease of use, adoption is important, related to low-hanging fruit is when you get a new contributor, when you have someone you can identify as a power user from your customer, figure out how to get them into the open source community. These are all things that they'll be involved in. Product management. Product managers have an interesting position. They may or may not be actually checking in code into the open source project, but they're probably the best advocate for an open source technology. I'll give you an interesting tidbit from Pivotal. I'm a really weird marketer at Pivotal. Almost all of our marketers are, I'm really weird. I see Roman laughing at me already. Most of our marketers are tied to a commercial product. So they care about how much revenue do I make, how many leads do I get, what's the awareness of my product, that kind of thing. I market the open source technologies. I have one other colleague who manages a different open source product that, we're the two of us are about the only ones that work in this way. The way I look at it is we also have temporary positions. The people whose sole responsibility to promote their brand and evangelize their technology really comes down to the product manager. And this is something that's very core to how Pivotal organizes its products. So your product managers are really super important. They are your best advocates and your best community organizers. So this is why they need to do things like drive the release manager capabilities. This is why they need to be volunteering and really driving community building events. They are the chief evangelist, and then they need to also work on doing things like encouraging adoption by other communities. Marketing, I already got into some of this, but the typical thing that a marketer will do is work on educational content and awareness. You know, here's an Apache Geode, here's how you use it, here's how you get started on step one. The way I look at it is my concerns are awareness, communication, and then cadence of how often do I touch people. I look at, I would be looking at my KPI, my time to hello world funnel of how many people do I have at the awareness. So that would be like Google. The Google web trends or Google Docs Google statistics analytics would be what I would measure that. Then we would see like engagement, that's be number of people subscribed to my news list. And then Hello World is the one that I've been struggling on how to measure. If you can actually figure out by some miracle chance how many people got to that basic level of implementation trying to use your tutorial, then that tells you how many actual new initiates do you have in your community. And one last important thing on here, and that is that the product brand or the open source product brand does affect your commercial brand. And branding, I could go a whole nother hour on that. We've done everything at Pivotal. We have Gemfire, which begat Apache Geode. We have Apache Hawk that we gave the brand to Pivotal, and then we called it HDB. And I have people at Pivotal that are complaining that Geode, Apache Geode, is now too famous of a brand compared to Gemfire. And I have people at Pivotal that are complaining that nobody knows what the heck a Pivotal HDB is. Can't we just use Hawk? So it's interesting how big the open source brand can get pretty fast. And this is where you start, and this is getting into more applied areas. When you start getting into your sales organizations, this is where sort of the applied IP and the getting the customers to interact in open source becomes much more powerful. So make sure, you know, they're in a position to talk to a lot of customers, a lot of prospects every day. Make sure they do a good job of actually bringing this feedback back to the community, such as filing JIRAs. They should be encouraging their champions at the customers to join the community. Another back to thing, if they file a support ticket, also file a JIRA. Drive people to the community as much as possible to get help. A lot of field engineers at Pivotal are really amazing demo makers, and they even have their own GitHub to put these on, but nobody knows where they are. So asking them to polish it an extra little bit, or at least give it to the R&D and the product management where they can finish it. And usually all that means is scrub it for a customer data they might have gotten, but you know, figure out a generalized piece. You've got a real nice piece of user education right there. And then, of course, the field engineer is located all around the world, so they can do local evangelism. And yes, there's even a place for sales in the community. It's highly advantageous to a sales guy trying to bring in a new technology into the customer if there's already meetups going on in the area about their product. Then the customer, and especially the technical evaluators, likely have some awareness and knowledge of this. Or when they first hear about it, thanks to a sales call, the next thing they're going to do is look and Google it. And if they start seeing there's a meetup group in their area with an active community going on, it's going to be a lot easier for them to feel like the technology is real. Some of what we do at Pivotal, we believe that open source usage is important to digital transformation. I'm sure you guys have heard all about digital transformation. I'm pretty sure every software company on the planet right now is claiming they'll help their customer with that. But we believe usage of open source is an important piece of that. Probably another careful thing you have to do with sales is sales will try to qualify, and they'll try to make sure that somebody has money and they're willing to spend money on the open source, and they're going to try really hard to get a check out of these people as fast as possible. And that's what sales is supposed to do, but they do need to qualify carefully, because there are a number of people that don't buy open source software, or at least not in the beginning. So they need to be coached and understand how to look for that situation quickly, because the last thing you want to do is be a jerk to somebody who's going to go and try and use the open source software for free. Because guess what? If they get big, they might be willing to do it. Or more importantly, they might make other kinds of contributions back to the open source project. And the last one is, if especially if they're a district rep, or at least they're working on their own customers, they should be responsible for making sure there is open source evangelism targeting their area. So here's some examples from Pivotal, and what I say about taking a community-first approach. So we used to have this old meetup group called Pivotal Open Source Hub, located in the Bay Area. And it was sort of a buffet style, is the best way to describe it. Covered all things open source. And so when we started looking at this again, we said, you know, we need to focus on the audience. We need to understand why people are coming to a meetup group. And we realized that if we look at a profession, and look at the needs of that profession, that maybe we'll get a better target and a better result. And as a result of this branding change, you can kind of guess the subject matter and who we care about for this. This reduced the scope of what we cover significantly, but it gave us a clear idea of the kind of people we wanna work with and target. Upon doing this, we actually saw a pretty significant rise in our number of participants in our events. Some of the things that we're doing in community building. So as I mentioned, Apache Geode is one of ours. We did new releases. We had the first summit ever of Geode. I told you that the Gemfire technology had been in the market for 15 years. No one had ever gotten everybody in the same room before, seriously. So like we managed to get 120 people, not a huge summit, but not bad for a first one. We got 120 people in the room, and like the typical comment I heard in the audience was, "Oh my God, you guys do that too?" So, you know, that's an example of the sharing that I was talking about before that needs to happen more, because a lot of companies, they sort of think that they learn how to use the technology, it's their secret sauce. No, it really isn't. And in fact, they would have saved a lot of time if they'd known how to do this. Madlib's an interesting one. It actually, it's a library that's bridged between multiple projects. So it works with Apache Hawk, it works with Apache Greenplum, and it works with Postgres. And so we're working on figuring out how we can use it as a feeder from the Postgres community into people with bigger problems and they want to do things either in Hadoop or in a traditional MPP database. And Greenplum is another interesting example. So it was forked from Postgres about 10 years ago, and Postgres went that way and Greenplum went that way. It was treated as a traditional proprietary project, and in fact, we thought it was so proprietary that even when we open sourced it, we didn't think anyone would care. So we open sourced it, didn't bother to put it in Apache, just keep a single vendor. It's actually probably our most vibrant community that we are building, and this is entirely due to the fact that a bunch of Greenplum DBAs just have this natural affinity for each other, and we've been finding them really wanting to get together and build things. And the other thing too is we're working on rebasing it with the newest versions of Postgres, and this is getting us tapped into new blood in the community as well. Spring, I mentioned to you that it's a great example of a vibrant community understanding their needs, getting leads out of it from being at critical mass, and we're using it as connective tissue across a lot of our technologies for developers, and same for Cloud Foundry. So hopefully by the end of this, if we're all almost awake still, you understand that it is crucial that we are able to combine the community and commercial activities. My recommendations as you're leaving is, you know, when you're working on something, think to yourself, can this task or story that I'm doing on be done in the public? Is there something I can do in terms of an email or a demo, for example, or even a speaking session, you know, information session in training? Awareness is really important. Get out to new audiences as much as possible about the technologies that you work on. Make it easier for people to become a newbie by reducing the time to hello world. And then always look at trying to create more elites in your community. So reduce the time to first contribution is the step to be doing that. So, and I guess my ending comment is be evangelist for your evangelists. So with that, any questions? All right, I don't know about you guys, I'm hot. So thank you for your time.